You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're visiting with Congressman Mike Pompeo of the 4th District of Kansas, a leader in the House of Representatives on national security matters, a man with a distinguished record of service in uniform, first in his class at West Point, with service in the United States Army thereafter, as well as work in the defense industrial sector following his time in uniform. Congressman, you have had a leadership role, there's no question about it, in terms of exposing this Iranian regime, its ambitions, as you say, for nuclear weapons. The administration has turned a deaf ear to all of your warnings and is now, apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, imminently going to be further empowering this Iranian regime by giving them access to dollars in the international currency markets. Could you talk about what is going on here and the possible implications?
It's incomprehensible. The administration appears to be prepared to allow Iranian companies and perhaps most importantly Iranian banks to have access to the entire international global trading system and finance system. The administration promised, they told Congress, they told the Democrats who voted to support the JCPOA, don't worry, we will keep terror sanctions in place. If they don't relate to nuclear weapons, if the Iranians continue to spread terror around the world, we will continue to keep sanctions in place. And yet, it appears they now are ready to allow Europeans to trade not only with Iran, but using U.S. dollars. And that is illegal. We're going to, in Congress, extend the statute that allows Treasury to make that illegal. And it's an enormous mistake. You will now have the IRGC, through front companies, having access to the international global finance and trading system, making enormous risk to lots of companies throughout the world. And we just talked about cyber threats. We just talked about their ability to infiltrate in places. And now we're going to open up the financial system to permit them to trade through the global trading system. It will ultimately touch U.S. banks, and they will have extended their foothold throughout the world. And will be the administration says, don't worry, if we find out they'll do it, there'll be snapback sanctions. That's a joke.
Yeah, the snapping back is becoming more and more problematic by the day. We're visiting with Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas. And Congressman, you have, as I've said here before, with you and without you, played an enormously important role in, I think, illuminating so many of these challenges. You serve, as you mentioned, on the cybersecurity subcommittee of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And one of the things that I'm just wondering if you've been concerned about, as am I, in that regard, is the idea that this president is making yet another concession to, well, Iranians and Chinese and Russians and others who I think do not have our interests at heart by transferring control of an important function of the internet to so-called international stakeholders, and doing so under circumstances that seem to lend themselves very directly to, well, the cyber manipulation of the internet, restriction of free speech, and perhaps worse. Could you talk a little bit about this the so-called ICON transfer initiative and what Congress might do to prevent it?
So the president and his leadership at the Federal Communications Commission concluded, oh goodness, a couple of years back that they would allow a transition to take place, which took the United States out of the leadership role with respect to how, and it's a little more complicated, but how the internet operates. What is very, very, very simple to see from that is that it's not even so much that the United States won't be in the leadership role. It's that the people who will be will use it in ways that are detrimental to not only the United States, but to commerce, to national security of the law-abiding countries all around the world. The risk that's associated with transferring this power from a country that's done a darn good job of making sure that people all around the world have access to the internet now is handing over those reins. There was no reason to do it. There's no upside to the United States for having done so. And it's a mistake that will be incredibly difficult to walk our way back from. Congress has tried. The House of Representatives has attempted to slow this down. Indeed, we've passed bills to do that. But unfortunately, the Senate hasn't been able to put legislation on the president's desk that we had enough votes to stop from what he's trying to do.
I think it's the case that there's actually a prohibition in place through the end of this fiscal year on this transfer. And I guess the question is, could we extend that beyond? And I certainly hope that will be one of the things Congress takes up. Listen, there's so much more to talk about, Congressman. Let me just turn to another area that you've been very much involved in, if I may. Hillary Clinton's emails first came to light as a result of the work that, I think Judicial Watch was doing, but also your select committee on Benghazi to try to figure out what she was doing, among others, and saying and ordering at the time of that disastrous debacle. Given what we've heard so far of the intelligence that has been compromised, perhaps the criminal activity by Hillary Clinton, do you anticipate that there will be, in fact, a prosecution of Mrs. Clinton in time to spare us, perhaps, her role as a commander-in-chief?
So I try to stay away from predicting what others will do. What I can tell the folks listening today is that I have had the chance now to read the 20-plus top-secret emails that were sitting on Secretary Clinton's homebrew server at a setting that was not remotely secure in a way that the United States government handles national security information. And we've heard some on the Clinton team, including herself, say that, gosh, this was a nothing burger. I've read those emails. That is false. They're appropriately classified. Anyone who's had any experience handling this kind of information would read those and recognize it wasn't appropriate for this information to be in a place that the Iranians and the Chinese and others who want access to U.S. classified information could get it more easily. And so it's very, very clear to me that there was information that was in places that was completely inappropriate. And I am confident the FBI will do a thorough investigation, and I'm hopeful the Justice Department will take that information and do the right thing.
Yeah. Well, you are, in addition to being a distinguished national security expert, a lawyer by training, as I recall, and you have, I think, an assessment, I'm sure, of the degree of criminal exposure here. Would you say, based on what you know, that there is a real problem?
Yeah, there's no doubt this information was not handled in a way that is consistent with the law, in my judgment. And so we'll see how they proceed. Remember, too, it's not just Secretary Clinton. There would have been multiple people inside the United States government and the executive branch, senior leaders, who were also part of this as well. And so I think that's part of the work the FBI has to engage in, is find out exactly who and exactly how. How did this information jump? Right? It's not easy. I handle national security information with great frequency. To get it out of the secure system is not just, you don't just hit forward.
It's meant to be hard.
That's right. There are reasons it's difficult.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me ask you, in closing, Congressman, you have spent a lot of time on one other subject near and dear to our hearts, which is Guantanamo Bay. The chairman of your committee, Devin Nunes, recently described in the Wall Street Journal the growing importance of human intelligence because of the compromises of our various signals intelligence and other collection techniques. How important do you think it is that we be able to retain that facility, among other things, for the purposes of doing the kind of human intelligence collection and interrogation that apparently is going to be more needed in the future even than today?
Correct. That's a great question. You know, we often talk about Guantanamo Bay and its closure in the context of releasing these nasty, dangerous men who are there today. And that's important. We can't do it. We shouldn't bring them back to the States and read them their Miranda rights. So that's a big deal. But we seldom spend enough time talking about this is an incredibly important asset going forward. We will next week or the week after capture a terrorist on the battlefield, an enemy combatant. We will need a place to go find to interrogate them. And today the option set is to either release them, turn them over to a third country, or bring them back to the Eastern District of Virginia. All are really bad options if your goal is to take down the terror network and find out what this person knows. And so Guantanamo Bay is a key asset to take down radical Islamic terror networks throughout the world in a way that keeps America safe.
We can't say how much we appreciate your work in that regard, Congressman, and look forward to continuing our conversations about that work. Keep it up, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll take stock with another distinguished member of Congress on Iran's new demands and more. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.